Please listen carefully.
Hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Amelia Buckley.
And I'm Summers McKay. And we are part of the team behind Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
Every single day of the week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these stories in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, good morning, it's still 100 degrees in California-worthy podcast.
Today is Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. Oh, yes, it is hot here in Central California. Actually, I think all of California. We continue to experience the dog days of summer around here. Are you tiring, Amelia, of the quaintness of your single-pane, second-floor Mesa apartment up there in Santa Barbara?
A little bit. But we left all the windows open all night, and then this morning we closed all the blinds as soon as the sun emerged. So it's a little bit cool in here still, but not for long, unfortunately.
So pretty much your workday needs to end by noon, because at that point you will be too hot to actually think. Is that kind of what we're working with here? Yeah.
Exactly. At that point, I'll take a break and jump in the ocean and then maybe come back to it.
Ah, the ocean. You know, I want to take Brennan to the beach today. But there is such a large amount of equipment required to taking a baby to the beach. And it's hot. She needs to play and she needs to run. But my sophomore in high school started school today, so I no longer have my buddy to go to the beach with her. So I am jealous of your ocean jumps, your equipment-free ocean dives, because I would love to take her and splash around. Maybe I'll muscle together and do it. I don't know. Amelia and I were talking this morning about whether or not we were both watching the Democratic National Convention or any of the political news on television, and I admitted that I am not. It is not for a lack of passion about our democracy and how we support one another and the right to vote and all of the things that are very important in our world today. But I am feeling very selfish in my world that I don't have time to watch TV. Anyway, I am just feeling kind of selfish today. How are you feeling?
I'm doing okay. I watched Michelle Obama's speech at the DNC because it was all over my social feeds and people were raving about it. So I figured I would take a look. But honestly, yeah, I look at the news all day long for work. And so when I finish work, it's pretty hard to sit down and decide to watch more news.
Exactly. We had a conversation yesterday with another podcaster who runs a great podcast, which we will be talking about in future episodes of the Optimist Daily Update. But we talked about our notion of being media therapists and news media therapists and trying to heal the world from all the ills that come from watching really, really caustic and toxic news media. We talked about that our team members both carry the stress of having to read and watch the news all the time, but then also get kind of lifted because their job is to look through a better lens. But even us Optimist Daily folks sometimes have to shut out the rest of the world. So if you have shut out the rest of the world, you're not alone, but thanks for still listening to us. All right. So let's talk about today's
stories.
Yeah, exactly. Today's stories.
Well, one thing I was particularly optimistic about today was that I did get an email from our energy provider that we've gone 2 days here, at least in Santa Barbara, without any rolling blackouts that I know that they've had, especially in Northern California. I was on the phone with my dad and he was explaining that they were doing rolling blackouts and that they usually have them around 5 p.m. because that's when the energy production from the solar sector decreases, but people still have their air conditioning on. So that's why there's so many blackouts that happen, you know, around that evening time. That ties in perfectly to a story that we have on the Optimist Daily today that I want to talk about. And it's about the National Renewable Energy Lab. And they're actually testing out solutions for a easier transition to an entirely renewable grid.
That is very exciting. So how does it work?
They have a division called the Advancement Research on Integrated Energy Systems, or ARES division. And they are essentially predicting all of the problems that could go wrong with an entirely renewable grid and troubleshooting them before they happen so that when we switch over to entirely renewables, it's a lot smoother. So they're looking at things like, how do we take all of these different energy sources from wind, solar, and geothermal and combine them into one reliable grid? And then they're also looking at kind of specific areas and challenges that will be different in different parts of the country. So, you know, in California, you face the threat of wildfires causing blackouts. But if you are somewhere like Oklahoma, you're going to be more concerned about tornadoes and stuff like that. So they're essentially predicting everything that could go wrong and fixing it before it does.
I love, you know, predictive and strategic planning and the idea that we can do this in a way that reduces the overall footprint, allows us to allocate resources in a more effective way, and allows people to plan better for their lives, right? So the rolling blackouts, they often come at a time when there's other crisis or other, you know, stressors coming on. All over California, there are communities that are struggling with wildfires, and the idea that then not being able to access information about these wildfires due to rolling blackouts, it just is that compounding stress. And we talked, I think, at the beginning of this week or at the end of last week, that when a community or a environment or a person is always in a state of fight or flight, resilience and recovery doesn't really happen. And so this strategy to localize the power grids and really manage expectations can help move into that rest and recovery and resilience and expansion that I think our communities need right now. So definitely a good story on the Optimist Daily.
Speaking of rest and relaxation, I think you had some personal care-oriented stories that you wanted to talk about today.
I did. So personal care, critical. Businesses that provide personal care, time to get responsible. On the Optimist Daily, we really focus on illuminating those businesses that are doing good and businesses that are making strategic choices to improve the way that they produce and distribute their goods and services. There are some big organizations out there who can lead the way for other organizations and can create a marketplace, and we are very big fans of the ones that do. Actually, I'm going to hit up two stories today. The first headline reads, New Sephora Partnership Solidifies Commitment to Clean Beauty. Now, the Environmental Defense Fund and Sephora have teamed up to solidify a greener future and promote safe, transparent ingredients in all of their products. In July 2019, Sephora made a commitment to reducing the number of products containing high priority chemicals by 50% in 3 years. They kind of gave an end of year report on how that is going. And in learning about the productivity that they have had, 94% of products and 65% of the entire brands sold on Sephora's website have no high priority chemicals in their formulas. And 95% of the products on their website also have transparent ingredient lists. Now, this is something that is really controversial in the beauty industry, right? The idea to have a formula that is exclusive, that is not replicable. You basically say, and added fragrances so that nobody can replicate your beauty formula. Well, the idea of protecting your formula to prevent recreation is something that is fundamentally part of capitalism, right? That is part of patents and copyright and all of the protections that are involved. However, what has happened is that has also led to some shielding of really, really bad ingredients, ingredients that have a strong and heavy footprint in their creation. The idea of changing how we protect capitalism, how we protect products, and how we further innovation by asking for transparency is really critical. And, you know, whether it's in relationships with your partner, relationships with your employer, or relationships with your products, transparency is key. So really excited for Sephora having done that. Second story that I'm excited about, and this one really weighs heavily on me as I recognize how much plastic and paper we throw out every single week in our lives. And I would love nothing more than to be able to reduce my plastic footprint and the one that my child will inherit. But this headline reads, Nivea is testing a refill station in Germany that aims to reduce plastic waste. Reusable packaging is the key to reducing plastic waste. But let's be realistic, people. How often do you reuse your container, your shampoo container, your body wash container? You throw them away. We all do. And those of us who aren't, you guys are amazing. What Nivea has created allows for products to be consumed over and over without the need for unnecessary single plastic use. Beiersdorf, which is the Germany-based manufacturer of the skin products, is hoping that users of its Nivea shower gel products will feel more encouraged to reuse products' packaging in an easy-to-use refill station currently being tested in a market chain of German retail stores. Now, the key to this refill station is that you don't buy the product full anywhere. You buy the empty bottle, fill it up, and you can fill it up 3 times. And then when you return your bottle for that 4th fill, you recycle the bottle and are given a new bottle and a 4th fill free. So that is a way of trying to train behavior because it is very difficult. I know there are a lot of small refill shops all over the country, but they really struggle. Amelia, you were talking about a refill shop in Santa Barbara, right?
Yeah, I believe we used to have one in Santa Barbara. And then now that I'm living downtown rather than a little bit outside of the downtown area, I was excited to use it. But I looked it up yesterday and it's no longer in business. So I was kind of bummed about that. But we do have a Lush here, which I know we've talked about before. And they've got a lot of great options like shampoo bars and stuff like that. And they reuse a lot of their containers. So I guess I'll have to stick with that for now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and what I think that speaks to is that it is very difficult for small businesses to change user behavior. And that is why Sephora's efforts and Nivea's efforts, when large businesses that have the financial infrastructure to support a long lead change, right? When they can create the runway, the strategic plan to support long lead changes of consumer behavior, it allows businesses to evolve. So a smaller refill shop may have a future and a more successful opportunity once user behavior continues to change. I am a huge fan of Lush. Right now, as everybody knows, I kind of only do my only shopping online. And I will admit that it is so much easier for me to just purchase from Amazon because I already have the whole account structure set up that oftentimes I'll look at a more sustainable product, but then I'll just go to Amazon because I can one or two clicks have what I need. So my commitment, along with Nivea and Sephora's commitment, is that I'm going to do my best to buy from sustainable manufacturers like Lush.
We need to make it as convenient to get those products that are reusable and renewable and green as it is to shop at Amazon, because that's the whole reason people use it, you know?
Yep.
That's why it's so successful, is that it's just so easy.
Well, and the acquisition of a customer is very, very expensive process. And once you've purchased from a retailer, then they have your information and then it becomes easier. But it is that initial online conversion that is really, really challenging. And I think if you are a technologist, if you are building systems, or if even if you're thinking about what your future career could be, I would say really look into building technological experiences that make it easier to buy sustainable products. Because once we can change user behavior, once we can advance people and make it easier, we're going to have a better process. And right now, it's just people are under stress. People are watching terrible news media. People don't have the time or availability or spaciousness to make better decisions. So really, companies need to do this in order to be the leaders.
Have you ever been to those Amazon pickup stores where they have the lockers?
Yes.
I would love to see that, but run by a small company and you basically get your beauty product, shampoo, whatever it is, body wash, and you use it and then you return the container to your little neighborhood pickup store and you get a new one and they take your old container, clean it, refill it, and then repurpose it. That would be such an easy way to do it. You just have to make the access points more convenient for people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it takes putting pressure on some of the bigger organizations. You know, if we look at some of the retailers, Amazon already has the infrastructure. I know that Amazon has made public commitments to reduce their footprints. But
at the same time, that's a pilot program that they could absolutely execute, right? The reusables. Or Sephora could have it so that you could walk into Sephora, you have your subscribe and save, right? You have your 10 things that you buy from Sephora, and then you return them as needed and get, you know. So I love it. And retailers.
Big business.
And
get exactly. on it.
Yeah. Entrepreneurs and large scale business owners, come on, let's do this. Let's rethink fulfillment while we're also using US Postal Service and effectively voting. And. Okay. What else do we have on the Optimist Daily today that's kind of fun and inspiring?
Well, one that's pretty fun, I don't know about inspiring, but definitely fun, is these public toilets in Japan that turn opaque when they're in use. And they're actually strangely very beautiful. You should go take a look at the picture on the website. They're these public toilets and they're see-through, but then when somebody steps inside them and locks the door, they turn opaque. So kind of very modern and fun.
That's a great design story. It's not like really a scalable solution, but it's a fantastic design story that is very compelling. You know, who would have thought you could make public toilets beautiful?
Exactly. We've got some new studies that are showing signs of lasting immunity to COVID-19. I've been following that one. They're showing that if you have it or in the future, if you get the vaccine, they're predicting that you have about 3 months of immunity, which is pretty good.
Basically, documenting the length of time in which immunity exists allows for a more effective distribution of the vaccines. It takes away some of the uncertainty on how and when the vaccine should be distributed to ensure a redundant immunity across our populations.
Mm-hmm. Mapping the ocean, robot boat completes 22-day mission without crew. This rig lets wheelchair users go on off-road adventures. This map tells you how to vote during a pandemic. We talked about that one yesterday. So if you're unsure on the vote-in ballot policies in your state or the last days to register, go check that one out. New study details the surprisingly social behavior of gray reef sharks.
So baby shark is a thing in our lives because I have a baby. And when I'm fixing her breakfast in the mornings and she's playing in her little play area, I will pop on Netflix's series, If I Were a Baby Animal. And it's really fun when all of a sudden your child connects something that they've heard and, you know, from one to another, because there was an episode about baby sharks this morning and she looked at it and started doing her baby shark dance. And it was just super cute. I think, you know, sharks are our friends. And I love this story because the ocean is fantastic. Sharks are social and compassionate creatures, even though they're carnivores. Definitely, sharks can be friends with one another, and they are our friends too.
Lastly, we have a little bit of a transformer story. We have a modular electric microbus can turn into 10 different vehicles, which I haven't read yet, but that looks very intriguing. I'm not sure how you do that, but I'm going to go take a look after this.
It can go from a flatbed to a cargo to a... The picture's darling. I think this is a spec electric bus car that is in development. But really fun design day on the Optimist Daily. And, you know, whether it's Japanese toilets or transformer buses or beauty care products, you will be inspired by your hump day Optimist Daily. Okay, one funny thing, I recently updated my phone's operating system. I have a Samsung. Its version of Siri is called Bixby. Apparently, Bixby has been listening to our conversation today, and it said, I couldn't understand. Here are some services to try. Find gluten-free cookies. Find new sci-fi movies. Turn on air conditioner at 10 a.m. So anyway, I guess that's Bixby's perspective of the Optimist Daily update.
It's all pitching us story leads.
Exactly. So I will send you some gluten-free cookie recipes for tomorrow's Optimist Daily. We kind of have a busy day ahead of us, so we'll wrap up. But I just want to thank everybody for listening to the Optimist Daily Update with Amelia and Summers today, sans Christy. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please, if you're not already, consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness, and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free for all who need it and supported by those who can. Thank you all for listening today, and we will be back tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow.